Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents If Your Adolescent Has Bipolar Disorder, an Essential Resource for Parents by Dwight L. Evans, M.D., Tammy D. Benton, M.D., and Catherine Ellison. Narrated by Patrice Williams. Introduction. Unnerving highs and lows. One of the few predictable things about raising a child with bipolar disorder is that you will be constantly surprised. One day, your son or daughter may seem spirited and energetic. The next, driven and consumed. One morning, a bit peevish. 3 hours later, raging. There may be times when you will find it hard to recognize the child you thought you knew. I wanted to grab her and bring her back, but there was no turning back, writes the journalist Michael Greenberg, recounting how he'd chased his manic 15-year-old daughter down a New York City street in his memoir, Hurry Down Sunshine, A Father's Story of Love and Madness. Suddenly, every point of connection between us had vanished. It didn't seem possible. She had learned to speak from me. She had heard her first stories from me. And yet, from one day to the next, we had become strangers. This illness, which used to be called manic depression, is a mood disorder, a potentially harmful variety of the ordinary course of shifting attitudes and behavior. It most often consists of some degree of mania, a giddy, overconfident, or irritable high, alternating with cycles of depression or pervasive sadness. Until just a few decades ago, most doctors believed children were immune. Yet today, early onset bipolar disorder is diagnosed in kids as young as 6, with the average of onset between 15 and 19. This is the heart of adolescence, which the World Health Organization defines as between 10 and 19 years old. The symptoms of bipolar disorder in children often differ from those in adults, making it harder to diagnose. It is estimated to affect roughly 3% of U.S. adolescents, or about 1 in 33, which is similar to the rate for adults. That makes it considerably rarer than depression, which today affects nearly 1 in 8 youth. Yet it suggests that roughly 1.3 million adolescents, and by extension their families, are suffering the fallout from this major, often dangerous, and almost always lifelong problem. It is for you that we have written this book. Our goal is to empower you with the information and confidence you'll need to support your child. As many a parent can tell you, you can't start too soon. I wish I'd known even half of what I know today about bipolar disorder back when Andrew was first showing symptoms, says Nancy. In retrospect, I feel like it took way too long for us to understand and then accept that this was what it was. The company you keep. As a parent of a child with mental illness, you've probably already realized you're not alone. The rates of adolescent anxiety and depression have climbed sharply in recent years, even before the COVID-19 pandemic brought its trauma, frustrations, and social isolation. From 2019 to 2021, symptoms of anxiety and depression doubled among U.S. youth. In early 2021, emergency room visits for suicide attempts rose 51% for adolescent girls over the same period in 2019. For boys, the increase was 4%. In a survey taken during the pandemic, 46% of U.S. parents said their children's mental health had deteriorated. By the end of the second year of the pandemic, mental health care professionals who treat young people were reporting a huge increase in demand. One psychiatrist described an avalanche of severely depressed and anxious youth. While the new stresses didn't create more bipolar disorder, they have certainly aggravated the illness in many young people. COVID-19 upended Paula's teenage son's life. Before the pandemic, Andy was a state-ranked swimmer and Eagle Scout. But after swim practices and scout meetings were canceled, Andy spiraled down. He spent hours alone in his room. He started cutting and burning his arms. Then one afternoon, he drove more than an hour away to a store where he shoplifted a pair of leather pants that cost $1,000. He was charged with the felony and jailed. Yet when Paula tried to get him help, she faced a 5-week wait for therapy. In 2021, several leading U.S. health groups sounded alarms. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and the Children's Hospital Association joined in declaring a national emergency in youth mental health. Welcome to your new job. Having a child with bipolar disorder means the normal work of parenting expands. Your job now includes trying to understand what you're dealing with, tracking down effective treatment, and finding ways to afford it, and advocating for your child outside your home. Most importantly, you will need to manage your own justifiable heated emotions as you seek to protect your child and the rest of your family from the fallout of the illness. I am becoming used to an overwhelming, grinding mixture of anger and worry, writes David Sheff, whose son Nick was diagnosed with bipolar disorder in A Beautiful Boy, A Father's Journey Through His Son's Addiction. All of this may demand a lot more energy and time than you'd anticipated, or even imagine you can muster. But there are many ways to lighten the load. We've written this book to acquaint you with them, to be your straight-talking companion and practical guide. We understand how much you may need a non-judgmental friend. In the meantime, however, we strongly encourage you also to seek out real-life friends among other parents. There is nothing like the camaraderie of other adults who understand what it feels like to be coping with these challenges. We all knew that tunnel, writes Dorothy O'Donnell, whose daughter was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at age 5. We knew how the strain of raising a child with a mental illness could chip away at the most solid marriage. We had seen our girls flounder in school and lose friends. We'd seen the looks of skepticism from our friends and relatives when we tried to explain pediatric bipolar disorder. Life between the extremes. Mental illness, just like physical illness, occurs on a continuum. On one end lies optimal mental health, allowing people to process thoughts and feelings in ways that help them succeed in school or work, having fulfilling relationships, and cope with change and adversity. The opposite pole represents severe mental illness, which interferes with these behaviors. Most of us live somewhere between the extremes, with good days and bad days, and no clear cutoff line between health and illness. Your goal is to help your child move closer to the healthiest position, with many more good days than bad ones. We got a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and a counselor involved, says Stephanie, an educator and mother in Utah. We found the right medication, and now Gary is no longer cutting himself, and he doesn't speak so darkly anymore. He occasionally feels depressed, but he's gone from not having any interest in life to liking Legos, building Nerf guns, doing CrossFit, and playing with friends. Occasionally, he will tell us when he doesn't have a lot of hope and feels like everything is wrong. And then there are days when he seems really happy. There is no magic bullet. No book can substitute for individual professional diagnosis and treatment. If you think your child may have bipolar disorder, we urge you to have him or her evaluated as soon as possible by a qualified mental health professional. At the same time, know that there is no magic bullet, a surefire pill, or therapeutic technique to treat a mood disorder. Nor, alas, is it likely you'll find Dr. Wright to lead you and your child swiftly out of distress. You may end up consulting many therapists and trying many strategies before your lives start to improve. Many parents who have walked this road before you, including many with professional research skills and wealth, have despaired of a system that, by many accounts, is broken. Horror stories are common, yet many parents have found compassionate, effective help from individual mental health professionals who go well beyond the basic job expectations, even offering cell phone numbers for help with crisis after office hours. Some have also found insurance plan managers willing to work to make sure they're getting all the help they need. Along the way, you may be frustrated by the big differences in treating mental illness versus problems like a broken bone or high blood pressure. Even as illness involving the mind may have physical symptoms, there is much more variation, subjectivity, and controversy surrounding the approaches to treat them. That's why you may need to educate yourself as much as possible. A basic understanding of diagnosis and treatments can help you choose a clinician more confidently, know the right questions to ask, and better understand the recommendations you receive. Without wishing to distress you, we do want to emphasize the stakes involved. Risks you can't ignore. Bipolar disorder is a serious mental illness with potentially serious consequences. It tends to get worse when left undiagnosed and untreated. Episodes may become more frequent and severe. Children may lose precious time for academic and social growth. The dangers include every parent's nightmare: when a child takes his or her own life. People with bipolar disorder have an unusually high risk of attempting suicide, more than 10 times that of the general population. As many as half of all people with bipolar disorder will attempt suicide over a lifetime. More than 1 in 12 will die that way. In Chapter 9, we'll tell you what you can do if your child has attempted or is threatening suicide, a danger that has sadly been growing among all U.S. youth. In recent years, suicide has become the second leading cause of death for youth aged 10 to 24. The death rate from suicide from this age group rose by more than 57% from 2007 to 2018. Up to nearly 11 youth per 100,000. Bipolar disorder also makes it likelier that children will injure themselves short of suicide by cutting or burning their skin or becoming addicted to cigarettes, alcohol, or illegal drugs. When manic, people also tend to indulge in risky, often self-harmful behaviors, from gambling to jumping from heights. You will need to stay vigilant about your child's comings and goings and the company he or she keeps. Using this book. In the upcoming sections, we'll advise you how to recognize bipolar disorder, what treatments are available, how to find therapists and clinicians, and what to do in an emergency. We'll provide up-to-date guidance on how to be a smart healthcare consumer, including information on the safety and side effects of common medications, how to figure out the right kind of medical insurance, and how to find financial support if you can't afford insurance. We'll explain the heightened risk of consuming too much alcohol, recreational drugs, and social media. We'll also suggest ways to reduce stress at home, explain how to get accommodations at school, and advise you how to best prepare your child for life as an adult. Finally, we'll give you language to speak openly about mental illness and health with your child, and anyone else in your world who needs to know what's going on. Throughout the book, you'll hear from credentialed experts and from many ordinary parents throughout America who have walked this road before you and learned from their experience. We found our parents' brain trust through a variety of means. Some were active on social media, others were personal acquaintances. Still others were authors who have written about their children's struggles. Some were interviewed while still amid heartbreaking struggles. Others, with their children grown, were able to look back more calmly on the choices that helped them endure and offer hard-earned practical advice. We follow several of their stories all the way through the book. In all but a few cases, we changed their names. In all cases, however, we used quotes verbatim. The one question we asked everyone was, "What have you learned?" "Jason is out with close friends and family, and that feels like a miracle," said Meg, who has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder along with her 27-year-old son. "At this point, to my knowledge, the only people who are out on a broad public level are actors, writers, and musicians. So yes, please use a pseudonym." The stigma, fear, and misunderstanding about bipolar disorder is still too strong. Don't lose hope. By now, you're probably ready for some good news. Consider this. We know so much more about mental illness today than ever before. Long gone are the days when people with bipolar disorder were thought to be possessed by evil spirits and treated with exorcisms or bloodletting. Gone, too, is the old consensus among psychiatrists that parents were solely to blame for their children's mental illness. And no longer do most Americans choose to suffer in silence rather than seek treatment for a mood disorder for themselves or their children. In the place of all that misinformation and stigma has come a cultural sea change, including recent national campaigns with models like "Make It Okay," "Bring Change to Mind," and "Kicking the Stigma," the latter aligned with the Indianapolis Colts football team. Many popular artists with bipolar disorder have used their fame to try to help others who are struggling. Among them are singer-songwriter Mariah Carey, comedian Russell Brand, and actresses Catherine Zeta-Jones and Carrie Fisher. Fisher, best known for her portrayal of Princess Leia in Star Wars, stepped up heroically, launching the magazine BP Hope, and openly discussing her addictions to drugs and alcohol, frequent companions to the disorder. Being bipolar can be an all-consuming challenge requiring a lot of stamina and even more courage, Fisher has said. "So if you're living with this illness and functioning at all, it's something to be proud of, not ashamed of. They should issue medals along with the steady stream of medication." The celebrity confessions have a sobering side. Fisher died of cardiac arrest at age 60 in 2016, after which an autopsy found traces of heroin, cocaine, and MDMA, ecstasy, in her blood. The rock group Nirvana's Kurt Cobain, who wrote a song called Lithium, famously died by suicide at the age of 27. There is still no ignoring the hopeful messages of so many who have not only survived the illness, but managed to lead successful lives. There is no need to suffer silently, and there is no shame in seeking help, Zeta-Jones told People magazine. Knowledge is power. The better you understand your child's disorder, the greater his or her chances will be of getting and taking full advantage of effective treatment and an appropriate education and of living a healthier, happier life. You can make the critical difference. And while from time to time you may feel frustrated, confused, or even overwhelmed, take heart in knowing how far we've come. Our awareness, understanding, and compassion for people with all kinds of mental illnesses is growing every day. The authors. This guide has three co-authors. Co-author Dwight L. Evans, MD, sadly passed away as this book was going to press. He was the Joseph and Madonna DiGiacomo Professor of Psychiatry and Professor of Psychiatry, Medicine, and Neuroscience at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. He was chair of the Depression and Bipolar Commission of the Annenberg Adolescent Mental Health Initiative and past president of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the American College of Psychiatrists. Tammy D. Benton, MD, is psychiatrist-in-chief, executive director, and chair of the Department of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. She is the Frederick Allen Professor of Psychiatry and Professor of Psychiatry and Pediatrics at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. She is the chair of the board of the Juvenile Law Center and serves on the board of Friends Central School. In 2021, Dr. Benton was elected president of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, AACAP. Co-author Catherine Ellison is a Pulitzer Prize-winning former foreign correspondent and author and co-author of 10 nonfiction books, who has specialized in reporting on mental health issues for the past 2 decades. Her articles on mental health and other topics have appeared in leading publications including the New York Times, The Washington Post, Scientific American, and Knowable Magazine. We are grateful to the veteran science writer Linda Wassmer Andrews for her contributions to the book's first edition in 2005. Catherine would additionally like to thank psychiatrists Michelle Gouchereau, Kiki Chang, Jean Malifsky, and James Ellison, the psychologist Stephen Henshaw, Jean Blake, and education expert Patricia Howie for their important contributions. All of us are especially indebted to the many parents of children with bipolar disorder throughout the country who contributed their experienced voices in interviews. A special thanks to the writers Dorothy O'Donnell and Michael Greenberg, who were particularly generous with their time and insights. No pharmaceutical funding was used in the development or marketing of this book. Dr. Tammy Benton has nothing to disclose. Catherine Ellison has nothing to disclose. The upcoming sections include guidance on best practices for parents and descriptions of medical treatments that may be useful if your child is depressed without mania. For more thorough information on depression, please see our companion book, If Your Adolescent Has Depression. Chapter 1. Understanding Bipolar Disorder. Raising a child with bipolar disorder can take over your world. You may stay awake at night worrying about the latest call from school. Family dinners may end in chaos. Former friends may give you a wide berth as if your child's struggles are contagious. Your marriage may be battered by the stress while your life savings are running low to pay for help. Perhaps you're terrified by your child's threats to end his or her life. And you may agonize over the fact that bipolar disorder is a serious, lifelong illness with no cure. This is no job for the weak of heart. Still, for ages, other parents have endured and survived the challenges you're now facing and more. Last week, my son punched 3 holes in his wall, says Mark, whose child is 15. My whole life has come to a standstill as I wait for her next crisis, says Ellen, the mother of a 14-year-old daughter. The stereo's on, the TV's on, the computer's on, and he's on the phone, says Robin. He could do everything all at once and know what was going on everywhere and hear voices in the basement, or so he told me. Like most parents, you yearn to keep your child healthy and safe, but this bewildering illness may make you feel powerless. We hope this book can help you feel more in control. If your child is experiencing symptoms of bipolar disorder or has already been diagnosed, you can start being more helpful by learning about the symptoms, causes, and consequences. The first thing you should know is that millions of children with bipolar disorder have grown up to be independent and stable, with families, jobs, and a decent shot at happiness. At the same time, there's no avoiding that the symptoms must be managed. What is bipolar disorder? Soon you don't register day versus night because you don't need sleep, writes award-winning scientist Hope Jaron in her best-selling 2017 memoir, Lab Girl. You don't need food or water or a hat against the frigid weather for that matter either. You need to run. You need to feel the air on your skin. You need to take off your shirt and run so you can feel the air. And you explain this to a person holding you that it's okay, it's okay, it's okay to do this. But he doesn't get it. And his face looks worried like someone died. And you feel pity for him because he doesn't realize how wonderful and okay and okay and okay everything is. Looking back on your own adolescence, you may wistfully remember the physical energy and emotional intensity you had during that time. Bipolar disorder is different. Its defining characteristic is mania, the overpowering sensation that Jaron so well describes. Mental health professionals describe mania as an abnormally and persistently elevated, expansive, or irritable mood accompanied by excessive energy or activation. In its milder form, hypomania, it's a somewhat high, expansive, or irritable mood. In some cases, mania alternates with depression. In others, depression isn't present or obvious. Adolescents often experience mania and depression at the same time, resulting in what might seem like chronic, extreme crankiness. As is true with any illness, the symptoms of bipolar disorder may be stronger or weaker, more damaging or more tolerable, and more or less requiring intensive treatment, depending on the person. That's why you may hear references to bipolar spectrum disorder. Mania makes some people elated and hyperproductive, a feeling that many people with bipolar disorder understandably miss once it's gone. In others, however, it brings tremendous suffering, causing painful restlessness, irritability, and even rage. Mania also sometimes leads to psychosis, with delusions, beliefs that aren't true, and hallucinations, sensations that aren't real. Delusions might include grandiosity, such as a child believing he or she has superpowers or expecting to become an Instagram sensation overnight. Hallucinations might include hearing imaginary voices or feeling as if something is crawling on your skin. Some degree of grandiosity exists in nearly 90% of adolescents with bipolar disorder.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?